Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Craig Hoffman.
There were some games to be had, and my team just let me down.
Oh, is that what happened?
Bears, Jets.
The Hoffman Show.
If in life your fate is reliant on the Bears and the Jets, you're already screwed.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hour number two of the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. 5:30, you'll hear from Mike Mayock because he's going to join us live. 6:30, you'll hear from Logan Paulson as we give you a take command preview of Commanders and Bucks. But right now, let's get to it. 5 o'clock means not my beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
Joining us today, he's on his way to Tampa this weekend. Of course, the game is on NBC4, Sunday Night Football. J.P. Finley will be there. Host, of course, B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan and sports reporter for NBC4. J.P., what up?
What up, Hoff? We got a pregame show for this game on Channel 4.
So look at you doing television. It's almost like that's your job.
Trying.
So you'll have plenty to talk about on said pregame show. Will you use lots of footage of Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore fighting?
Man, you know, I guess. I'm sure that, I mean, it'll obviously be a topic, and Lattimore spoke today, and we got to, you know, put that on TV, and people are going to be so drawn to that. I understand it. It almost, to me, feels a little, like, inauthentic for us as Washington media fans, whatever we are, to be like all in on this Lattimore Evans thing. It just feels like we're like appropriating a player rivalry. You know what I mean? Like this is a Saints Bucks thing, but whatever, it'll probably happen Sunday night. So I am wildly fascinated for that matchup. But like, to me, here's where I stand. Because we've never seen it or really experienced it, I can't elevate it to, like, my top of mind. Like, top of mind for me is still, can they stop Bucky Irving? Is Jaden going to be the leading rusher again? And late-game heroics that they've become known for. Evans and Lattimore.
Well, to me, I think that the fighting thing is like a fun aside, and it's real. It's happened. They clearly have no love lost there. But it also, I think, overshadows just how good Lattimore has been against Evans in their careers, where he has held Mike Evans catchless 5 of 13 matchups, which is just an insane stat. And then there is kind of the question off of that is like, what does that do to the rest of their defense? Does that allow them to put more resources towards the run and stopping Bucky Irving? So ultimately, like if we get past the funny ha-has of them potentially playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots, like what does Marshawn being back mean for this defense and all the other important stuff it has to do?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think Sammer still is playing at a pretty high level. And I think you get Quan Martin back this week. He's been playing well. Like, all of a sudden, dude, you have less bad players on the field to oversimplify. I think it'll help them a ton. And if he's able to slow Evans down, McMillan can still beat you. They got other weapons, other options. I guess there's some question about the tight end, right? But it's a huge, huge step. And I think you nailed it that we maybe get a little caught up in the, oh, him and Evans might fist fight versus like he's just going to try to lock him down, and that has a huge advantage for the defense.
For sure. And, you know, in the first matchup, BSJ did his best, and he, you know, it was the classic BSJ. He's in good position and then got mossed. And on third downs and on and for the two touchdowns, like that was kind of the story. And so if you have a guy who is not going to be overwhelmed by Mike Evans' play strength in key situations, third down red zone, that's obviously quite important. What do you think the key is? And as you're talking to people in the building this week, what do they think the key is to stopping Bucky Irving in that Tampa rushing attack?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to kind of give you coach speak on run fits and just playing gap integrity and all that stuff. Honestly, dude, for me, especially in that Dallas game, and I think they played that pretty conservatively. I don't think they game planned a ton for the Cowboys, didn't want to put a lot on tape in a meaningless Week 18 game. But some of this is about winning individual matchups. And especially in that Dallas game, I thought they kind of got whipped up front. And like, you can scheme it, you can blitz, like, there's a lot of, like, other things you can do, but you need guys to win with some consistency at the line of scrimmage, and I just don't think they did that. Honestly, I don't have a ton of excitement that they're going to do it this week. The Tampa O-line, a guy you and I both covered, Kevin Carberry, running his own room down there, like, that Tampa O-line is good, man, and Wirfs is one of the best tackles in football, maybe the best tackle. Like, they are good. They are young. They are nasty. I'm very concerned about the lines of scrimmage in both sides of the ball because I don't know if you've watched any, but that dude Canty is a problem, and they didn't face him week one. And you add him to Vea, and they're just such different players. When we were down there for week one, I had heard about Canty, and then he was kind of a late surprise inactive, and then he went on to miss a couple games, I think. But they're going to get Biotis back, which is a great step, or we think so anyway. But I'm concerned about both lines of scrimmage.
I think that is a very valid concern, especially based off recent weeks. JP Finley with us on the Hoffman Show for Not My Beat today. Of course, you can check him and B. Mitch out on Monday for their reaction to whatever happens in Tampa, 10 a.m. to 2 on 106.7 The Fan, and everything JP is doing around the game on NBC4 pregame, and then he and Mitch on the postgame on the Monumental Sports app for the Beltway Football Show. So on the offensive side of it, well, first of all, on Kansi, he is super quick, but Logan thinks that you can run at him. So I think that's something interesting to watch because he's not the biggest guy as opposed to Vea, who, like, if you run at him, it's like running into a mountain, and like that, you shouldn't run into mountains. It's no good. It's the, like, what is it? The Wile E. Coyote tunnels, except for there's no tunnel there. It's just, you're just going to run into the side of it and smash right to the ground. I got asked this question multiple times this week in interviews, though, of like, what if Jaden Daniels is the leading rusher? And my response was kind of like, what if Jaden Daniels is the leading rusher? This dude can rush for 80, 90 yards a game. And in the playoffs, teams tend to rush the quarterbacks more. So I guess, like, if they lean into that, is that an issue for you at all? Is that a formula you think can be successful? Or do they need to beat these better teams like Tampa and like anybody else they'll face the rest of the season? Because we're in it now. Do they need to get that running back game or that running back running game going?
Dude, I almost expect him to. I kind of want them to pull out the second half of the Eagles game playbook where they were just kind of getting worked and just leaned into it and almost went air raid. And I think the way Bowles blitzes is going to be so frequently. I mean, we saw it week one, and clearly at that point, Jaden was kind of getting used to the speed of the NFL, and he was taking off without keeping his eyes downfield. But he was an effective runner in that game, and I think he's a way better player now. But I expect him to be the leading rusher in this thing. And I think you still work the design stuff, but I think he's going to identify. Cliff earlier in the week said his number one goal is to make sure Jaden knows where his escape options are against the blitz. And he didn't explicitly mean to run, because I think he also means, you know, where you've got a running back in the flat or wherever you've got a safe spot going against the hot action. But I think a lot of it's going to be his legs. And I think, like, we got to stop being so – I don't know if it's RG3 driven or what, but, like, as a group, man, there are running quarterbacks all over the NFL. They run They get hit, they get up, and they keep playing. Like, we got to stop pearl clutching every time Jaden takes off. It's part of his game.
You're preaching to the choir. You might be preaching to the choir leader, in fact, because I said that before the season. I was like, the biggest hits he's going to take in his career, probably in the pocket. Think of the most scared you were about Jaden Daniels this year. And it was when he got bent over backwards in the pocket a couple weeks ago. Again, I think it was against Atlanta,
right?
Yeah, and then he pops back up and you're like, okay, cool. We got Gumby at quarterback. That's sick. But like, that's the scariest hit he's taken all year. And then the other scariest ones, quote unquote, were week one against Tampa, because apparently he didn't get his helmet fit right in the preseason and his helmet hasn't popped off since. So that's good as well. But I totally agree with you. And we see it every year in the playoffs, and we'll see it this weekend. Josh Allen is going to run more this weekend by design than he has any time since the playoffs last year. And Lamar Jackson will probably run more design this weekend than any time since the playoffs last year. And Mahomes will scramble more next weekend than any other time. And these guys get out in space and they know how to not get hit. And I've never heard coach talk about like tackle evasion as much as Dan Quinn has, but like there's a real skill and art to that and they teach it. And I kind of trust him to be fine with it. And if not, they probably don't have a chance to win anyway.
Dude, totally. If you look at like who has what matchups, like what position groups have an advantage in this game, there's not a lot of spots. I think the Commanders' offense against, like, the Commanders' passing attack versus Tampa's secondary, I like Washington. I know Winfield might play, and that does make an impact, but I still like Washington. But, like, Tampa's probably got the more balanced, better roster overall. But Washington has Jaden, and you got to let Jaden do his, like, the entire arsenal that kid can deploy, he's got to do it. It's the playoffs. Like, he had to do it. I mean, honestly, like, they won their last four coming in, right?
Last five coming in.
Last five, right. After the bye, like, he was the reason they won games. Philly and Atlanta, the two big ones they won, it was Jaden. And so to think that it's okay for him to do that in week 16 and 17 to get into the playoffs, and then you dial that back in the playoffs, is asinine.
100%. And I just pulled up the NFL Pro preview on like the Next Gen Stats NFL Pro site. And they basically do like overall passing efficiency, rank, and then an advantage. And the two advantages that Washington has of the six that they are list here are overall passing efficiency and overall rushing efficiency with the Commanders offense versus the Bucks defense. And they are the third most efficient rushing team in the league is Washington. That's because Jaden Daniels' scrambles are so efficient that it takes every other thing that they've done in the run game up by a million. And so that's obviously going to be a huge deal this week, even if you don't want him scrambling quite as much as he did the first time around, just because you'd hope that he's got some easier outlets and understands where to go with the football. Speaking of, as JP Finley's with us here on the Hoffman Show, it feels...
Can I add something to that, though?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're really good at this kind of stuff. I would love to see those... I'm guessing that rushing efficiency statistic is based on the year stats.
Yes.
And for a lot of the year, they were running the hell out of the football. So Jaden was efficient, but so was the offense. I fear what those numbers look like post-bye, like the last month.
Totally.
They've been completely ineffective at running the ball.
Totally. And if there was a way for me to sort them, I would do that real quick, but I don't have that technology. Like Fortier probably does. He's got a fancy Washington Post subscription to True Media, but JP, you know who I work for. We're a radio company.
I do.
We're just doing the best we can.
If this makes you feel better, I have no idea how to use Excel. I have never created a spreadsheet in my life.
You've never created a spreadsheet for anything?
Not once. I make lists, documents.
JP, I'm going to tell you something that I did this week, and you're going to be like, you are the biggest dork that I have ever met in my life. I made... because I was trying to figure out how good the Commanders were with Daron Payne lined up on the edge. So I had already charted, like when I watch the tape to prep for Take Command and then ultimately this show, I write down like kind of what personnel groupings on both sides of the ball, what happened on the play, and then I write down like the yardage of the play. So I already had all that stuff charted, and I have a way of charting like when Payne is on the edge. I have a special name. I just put like a plus sign next to whatever, like nickel plus or base plus. So I went back through. I put that in a spreadsheet, but I'm very bad at spreadsheet formulas. But I know that ChatGPT is good at spreadsheet formulas. So I made a spreadsheet asked ChatGPT for the code so I could just put in the numbers and then it would do the averages for me based off if it was run or pass. And then I also did the total. And that's, I did that earlier this week because I'm a dork.
You completely lost me with most of that. But yep, my guess is you had Linnell in your ear telling you how bad Payne and Allen are all week. So you no. wanted to actually put the numbers behind it.
No.
Because he texts me anti Payne and Allen smut. Like, and I'm like, what do you want me to do with this? He sent me one thing that Payne and Allen didn't qualify for. And I'm not trying to defend, like, those guys have had the best year. But one thing that I think is so stupid is all of a sudden people are acting like the defense is underperforming because Allen came back. They've been underperforming for 6 weeks, regardless. But he sent me this thing that Payne and Allen didn't qualify for, and it very clearly said, like, minimum 400 snaps or something. And I was like, dude, Allen probably didn't even qualify for that with the amount of time he missed. Anyway.
Yeah, no, numbers and statistics. I tried to explain to Linnell. He made had some good argument he was making against Russell the other day. And I was like, here's how you, like, you. I know, I walk by the studio and I see that you have the next-gen chat stats passing charts up. I know you know how to look at that and be like, oh, that dot is above the 20-plus yard line. And, like, that's how you would do it. Just, like, go look it up. Do the research. And he's like, oh. I was like, yeah, that's... Anyway, we don't need to talk about Linnell's takes. Linnell talks about Linnell's takes enough. The point is that the Commanders need to find some rushing efficiency and some passing efficiency. Getting 17 the ball is a good way to be efficient on the on the passing side of things. I think one of the big differences in the offense now versus week one is Cliff, Jaden, and Dan understand what they have in Terry. By the way, today named second team all pro. Congrats to him, Luvu Wagner. Who am I forgetting that also got named second team all pro today? Luvu Wagner, Eckler. Terry, and Eckler. Yeah, as the kick returner. So congrats to all those guys. But they understand in a way that I don't think they did the first 2 weeks of the season, like how good Terry is, and that the definition of open for Terry is a lot bigger than it is for most guys, that he is the best contested catch guy statistically in the league this year. How do you think they try to make sure that he gets the ball this week? Like, is that something they emphasize early? Are they patient? Like, what's kind of the vibe around getting Terry involved, considering how uninvolved he was week one against these guys?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of talked about that yesterday, I guess we talked to Terry, and just about how, you know, early in this season, it wasn't that great for him. And then if you look at how things finished, the best, at least touchdown-wise, best year of his career, right? And I think, and he's making second team all pro, like he's getting this national recognition and the contested catches, like you mentioned. So I think it's a much more concerted effort with Terry. But I don't know that, like, you know, some teams, like I feel like KOC, if whatever game flow is and Jefferson doesn't have a touch towards the end of the first quarter, they're just going to run like a bubble for him or something just to get the ball in his hands. I don't know that Cliff does that for Terry. Like we probably have evidence that says he won't, but I think honestly with the way their corners play and the way the blitz is, like Jaden will just identify Terry as his outlet pre-snap and he'll get involved early anyway.
I think that's a really good point. It's funny because Cliff does that sometimes. He actually, I think last week they got Terry a bubble or a smoke screen. And like Terry's actually not that, for as great as he is after the catch, is not a great screen runner. And so it goes for 2 yards and then you move on and you're like, well, I guess he got the touch. So that's nice.
Right.
But there's
and
plenty.
Ironically, Yami's by far their best screen receiver.
Yeah, God, the week that he was out, their offense was so lifeless. And it's part because, like, he's also stepping in for Noah. And while Noah's stats weren't amazing, he was the third leading catcher and he was top five in the NFL in PI. So, like, he moved the chains in a different way. But yeah, getting Diami some of those, getting Eckler back involved. I'm really fascinated about their blitz plan this week because Bowles is just cranking it up in a major, major way. Is there any other thing matchup wise, whether it's, I mean, we kind of talked about Commanders passing game via Terry, Commanders run game we talked about. We've talked about trying to stop them on the other side. I guess we haven't really talked about Baker. Like, when you look at Baker, last thing here with JP Finley, what's the most dangerous part of Baker Mayfield to you? He's been great as a scrambler. He's been great in the pocket. Dude threw for 40-plus touchdowns. What scares you the most about Baker this week?
Sappy, but it's just his competitiveness. Like, yeah. I mean, he can match Jaden in the ability to never give up on a play, on a snap, on a game. And I think the Bucks have that mindset, much like the Commanders do, that, hey, our guy's going to have us in this thing no matter what. And that's a dangerous feeling for a football team. From a straight football perspective, is his ability to just turn, you know, chicken feathers into chicken salad. Like, you could have a busted play that he'll wiggle out of, roll left, and make a 30-yard gain. I do think, as Baker's being celebrated deservedly, at the same time, man, he'll turn it over. Like,
yeah.
he tied for the league lead in picks. I think the way Quinn and Witt preach ball is life takeaways, and then you get Lattimore back, and Mikey's got a ball hawk nose. Quad can come up with a football. You know, Lulu has had a ball in his hands like three straight games. He's come down with one of them, but maybe he's come down – maybe it's three out of four games. I don't know specifically, but if Lulu – like, I think to win on the road in the playoffs, I think you got to win the turnover battle. Washington was super tight with turnovers for a long time. Obviously, that changed with the Philly game. I think they got to protect the ball. I also – dude, I think Eckler – will be a big part of this. the way that Tampa blitzes,
yeah,
I almost think Eckler might lead them in running back snaps, because one, he's so effective as a pass catcher. Two, I think he's their best guy in pass pro. B-Rob had a pretty spotty game in pass pro with the Falcons game, and I don't know. I'm very curious how they have to. Obviously, Dallas for Eckler was like, get him out there, get him a couple touches, we're good. I'm fascinated to see what they do with Austin Sunday night, because I think he could be a real big factor in this game.
I totally agree. And a couple of things just to close loops and slash put numbers to things you just said. If this game is close late, which I believe in quote unquote close game is defined by the NFL is within one score with less than 5 minutes remaining. Washington 8-4 on the year. Tampa is just 3-5. Turnover wise, Washington +1 on the year, 15th in the league. Tampa was -5 turnover differential on the year. They're 20th in the NFL. And by the way, these teams basically even on penalties. Washington was 18th, Tampa 13th, but the difference was 3 penalties. So that's something to definitely watch Sunday as well. JP, great stuff, well, dude.
The turnover thing for Washington to finish +1 and they had 5 in one game is pretty damn remarkable.
Yeah, that's. I would be curious if, like, you just took 2 off of that, how high they would go in the rankings. Because
well,
they're 15.
I mean, B-Rob fumbled twice in that game. He hadn't fumbled in 500 snaps.
Right.
You know, like, some of it's just weird, fluky stuff.
But, hey, it's football, and it's the playoffs, and weird, fluky stuff happens. So who knows? Maybe the flukes will go Washington's way on Sunday night. JP, you'll be talking about it on NBC4 beforehand. What time y'all get going with pregame locally, JP?
7 o'clock.
Okay, 7 o'clock. Then they'll hand it over to the national pregame, and then Mike and Chris and Melissa on the call. By the way, if you missed Melissa Stark with us yesterday, great chat at this time. Definitely worth checking out on the podcast. And then JP will be with Mitch Tischler for the Beltway Football Show live on the Monumental Sports app postgame, and then with B. Mitch again on Monday. JP, always appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Hoff. Take care, buddy.
Mike Mayock, Westwood One, next.